So all week we have been listening to these wonderful stories of the resurrection. And one of the things that we want to appreciate more and more is how the resurrection of Jesus not only impacts us now, but truly is going to impact each one of us for all of eternity. And one of the things that we have seen day after day in these readings from the gospel this week is that Jesus appears in the flesh, and secondly, he commissions the apostles to tell others. The other day, I referred to this scholar who is well respected both in Protestant and Catholic circles by the name of N.T. Wright. And he talks about the resurrection body of Jesus as being a transphysical body. Think about that. It's transphysical. By that, Dr. Wright means it's more than a physical body, not less than a physical body. Because Jesus, after his resurrection, has this transphysical body, he can appear here, he can appear there, he needs to or wants to eat, but there are qualities to this body that are far greater than the body you and I have. And St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, when he is thinking about the resurrection, and I would invite you to read 1 Corinthians 15, maybe before the end of the weekend. It's the most amazing chapter on the resurrection of the body. And in this chapter, Paul contrasts the body we have now, this physical body, and here's the amazing thing, with the transphysical body you and I will one day have. You are going to have a transphysical body. Think about this as we hear now these words from St. Paul. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's going to be raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It will be raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It will be raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body now, says St. Paul, we know that there will be a spiritual body. Or we could say transphysical body. In the readings we've heard all week, we have pointers to what is meant by transphysicality. The witnesses to this event experience the resurrected Jesus in such a way that they could touch him. They experienced him in such a way that they could speak with him. And Peter, when he is challenged by the Jewish authorities who know that something has happened, says, you have to judge for yourselves. But whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you or to God, we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Now, here's the really important thing. Peter says, we cannot stop speaking about what we have heard and what we have seen. You have to judge for yourselves what you think this event is about. But we know what it's about, and so we are going to be courageous in proclaiming this gospel. And then right at the end of Mark's gospel, we have Jesus give this remarkable commission when he says, go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to the whole of creation. I love that verse. It's not just to proclaim the good news to people, but all of creation is to have this proclamation announced to it. And here's the reason why. St. Paul is the one who helps us to understand. It's not only that we are going to have a transphysical body, but all of creation is going to be caught up in this new reality, this new transphysicality. Over in Romans, we have the clearest teaching on this where Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it, because the creation itself, listen to this, is going to be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is going to be a new creation. There is going to be this new reality. And this so captured Paul's imagination when he understood what the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant, that now, in the present, as we wait this future, it's as if we are in labor, like a woman who is waiting for the birth of that child. But the day will come, says Paul, when all of creation, both the children of God and creation itself, will experience this transformation that Jesus speaks about. Now, I think this has particular implications for us in light of the environmental concerns of the present day. Christians are to be environmentalists because our care for all of creation is a way for us to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is also a way for us to show in the present that our stewardship of creation matters to God, because creation is going to be part of this larger redemption. Pope Francis, in Laudato Si, points to the place Jesus plays in this when he comments, "One person of the Trinity entered into the created cosmos," that is, entered into this world that is in labor pains. And then Pope Francis says, "Jesus throws in his lot with it, even to the cross. We therefore have a particular perspective to bring to the environmental conversation that is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in his commission to proclaim the good news to all creation. This can inspire us to look at present challenges in light of the transphysical emphasis that Jesus raised from the dead announces for the children of God and creation itself."